Today's scripture comes from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. And I just want to point out we're going to be reading from the Common English version of the Bible today. It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. When the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they aren't forgiven." Thomas, the one called Didymus, one of the 12, wasn't with the disciples when Jesus came. The other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." After 8 days, his disciples were again in a house, and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus entered and stood among them. He said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Put your hand into my side. No more disbelief. Believe." Thomas responded to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus replied, "Do you believe because you see me? Happy are those who don't see and yet believe." Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs in his disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in this scroll. But these things are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that by believing you will have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
This is the second Sunday of Easter, so it must be a story of some post-resurrection appearance of Jesus with his disciples. And sure enough, today we find Jesus coming into that locked room with the disciples, showing them that he is truly alive. But there's one person missing, and that's Thomas. Thomas, the one disciple. A week later, they tell Thomas the great news that Jesus is alive, and they know that because of his appearance to them the week before. They give him the fantastic news that Jesus is alive. I kind of feel sorry for Thomas. Thomas has kind of been given a bad rap over the years, if you stop and think about it. I think the time has come to rescue Thomas's reputation. He's been labeled throughout church history as Doubting Thomas. That's right. But I don't think Thomas deserves this. After all, he was no better or no worse than any of the other disciples, maybe except Judas. They didn't believe that Jesus had been raised either until Jesus appeared to them in that locked room, showing them his hands and feet. It doesn't matter that Thomas, according to church tradition, was an evangelist to India, where today there is still an order called the Christians of St. Thomas of India. It doesn't matter that Thomas suffered martyrdom for his faith. He's still always going to be known as Doubting Thomas. His reputation as the world's greatest skeptic isn't just undeserved. It's also a result of not knowing the whole story. You see, Thomas appears two other times in John's gospel. It's possible that the label of skeptic has somehow skewed our view of Thomas. But can Thomas teach us anything about what it means to believe? I believe he can. For example, in chapter 11, Thomas is there with Jesus when Jesus is told that his good friend Lazarus has died, and he's been summoned to come to Bethany. Now, Bethany, you understand, is just a little few miles outside of Jerusalem, but the disciples can't believe that Jesus wants to go back to Bethany or the Jerusalem area. Why? Because they know that if they go back to that area, Jesus and them run the risk of being arrested or something worse. But it's Thomas who speaks up right away and says, "Let us also go that we may die with him." Thomas was willing to go to death for Jesus. He was willing to give his life for Jesus. This was great faith. This took great courage, of course. And it was total devotion to Jesus, his Lord. And then there was the night of Jesus' Last Supper, the night that he washed the disciples' feet, the night before he was betrayed and arrested and eventually crucified. Sensing their troubled hearts, Jesus says to the disciples these familiar words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has room to spare. If that weren't the case, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And when I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and take you to be with me, so that where I am, you will be also. You know the way to the place that I am going." And it was Thomas who says these words, who is as clueless as the rest of the disciples about what in the world Jesus is talking about, says, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus, with love in his eyes, looks at Thomas and the others and gives Thomas one of the greatest lines, one of the most important passages of Scripture, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." You know, that took a lot of courage and honesty on Thomas's part to acknowledge that Jesus wasn't making any sense at all that night. So why do we insist on calling him Doubting Thomas? Maybe we ought to call him Honest Thomas instead. I mean, let's face it, he was willing to plead ignorance, but we are all the wiser because he did. We got that scripture from Jesus. Because of his confession, we are the recipients of hope-filled words that have given generations of Christians strength and hope and comfort in their most difficult moments. Which brings us to today's passage, Jesus appearing with his disciples. He's certain that his sudden appearance is going to startle the disciples when he passes through solid walls and doors. So he says, "Peace be with you," right off the bat. "Peace be with you." And he takes the initiative of showing those disciples, minus Thomas, his hands and his feet. And so they, of course, are shown. The same proof that Thomas received the following week. Thomas is simply, again, being brutally honest. And like many skeptics of the faith today, he wants some empirical proof that Jesus is alive. He wants to see some physical evidence that the Jesus he saw crucified on the cross is indeed risen from the grave. Thomas wants some forensic evidence. He wants to see the physical hands and side of Jesus before he'll believe. Fortunately for Thomas, Jesus is more than happy to accommodate. Jesus again appears to the disciples and says to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Touch these scars. Put your hand in my side." The visible, tangible proof is undeniable. And Thomas can only cry out, "My Lord and my God." And this single phrase is the essence of our faith, is it not? "My Lord and my God." But Jesus isn't finished with Thomas. He says to him, "Do you believe, Thomas, because you've seen me? Oh, blessed are those who don't see and yet believe." Blessed are those, happy are those who have not seen and yet believe. You see, Jesus wants Thomas and us to know that believing does not depend on seeing. Seeing is not the same as believing. Believing is the assurance of things hoped for, the certainty of things not seen, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. You know, there are a lot of doubting Thomases today in the world. Many people who doubt the resurrection of Christ, who doubt the different aspects of our Christian faith and so on. They're just not sure of this resurrection thing and how new life can come through a dead man. Well, even though we can't see the resurrected Christ today, believing is actually experiencing the resurrected Christ for oneself through the power of the Holy Spirit. For without the Holy Spirit, we can have no faith. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot have resurrection. Without Holy Spirit, believing without seeing is putting one's faith in action every moment of every day. Believing comes through searching the Scriptures. Believing comes from coming to church and going to Bible study and practicing the means of grace that John Wesley gave us. In the Epistle Peter, we're given these words, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with the inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And he goes on to tell his readers that those who preached the gospel to them did so by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Imagine that. Even angels seek to look into how God reveals God's self to us. Even the angels. Bringing our faith to life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if even angels long to look into these things, what about mere men and women and children? Jesus said that we're blessed if we've not seen and yet believed. We rejoice with the indescribable and glorious joy, sharing our gifts with everyone that we encounter. We, like the apostles, are captivated by God's living presence. We can imagine the infinite possibilities in being used by God to create a world that believes without sight, without seeing. We can believe in a world that loves unconditionally, a world where peace reigns, a world where the hungry are fed, a world where good news is preached to the poor and the captives are set free. We can believe where Christ's resurrection has vanquished any need to fear death or hell or the grave. This belief, my friends, this faith, this hope of ours in the resurrected Christ is indeed a holy mystery, just like this meal that we're about to receive. It's more precious than silver and greater worth than gold, the Bible says. What a reason to rejoice. What a reason to celebrate. What a reason to live. For we know that seeing is not believing. And it is by faith that we come here today. It is by faith, believing in the risen Christ, that has drawn us here today on Low Sunday, as it's called, to be a part of God's actions and to celebrate this holy meal, this holy mystery that we're about to receive. So I pray that everyone here has faith, faith in the risen Christ. I pray that as you leave this place today, that you will ponder the things that we've talked about, search the scriptures, come to church, spend time with the Lord in prayer, and know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and that we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen.